book of the Revelation, and we're at chapter 1. And just to save a moment or two, John the Apostle, the beloved John, he's a prisoner on the Isle of Patmos. The Roman Emperor caused him to be arrested. He's going to take John's life. And he's holding him on the barren Isle of Patmos. It's in the Aegean Sea. If you go cruising in the Aegean Sea, maybe you'll come to the Isle of Patmos one day, and it was there John was held prisoner. And he says in verse 10, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. I heard behind me a great voice, as of a trumpet, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book and send it unto the seven churches. Verse 12. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me. And being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot and girt about the breast with a golden girdle. This is what he said to John, verse 19. Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches. And we mustn't get confused with the word angels. It's the old Greek word for messengers. Because the Lord hath messengers in the churches. Seven stars are the angels of the seven churches. And the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. And we mustn't get confused with the word churches. Because we're not thinking about buildings now. I know that we call this building the Baptist Church. And I know if we go to the Orchard County, I suppose we shall call it the Baptist Church. But it is truly the Baptist meeting house. This is not the church, you know. And we don't need to worship it too much. It is the Baptist meeting house. The church is the assembly here. All the saints who are bonded together and believe the truths that we believe in the New Testament. And he was bringing seven assemblies before John. And he was letting him see the seven leaders that he had placed in those assemblies, whether the type, whether like it or not, there were only seven. Many times I have wandered into the lion's den and taken the lions by the beard on this very account. There was a messenger in each assembly. And I happened to be the messenger of this assembly and could be called the angel. And I don't look like one and I don't act like one. No, he looked up these seven assemblies. And he had something to say to each one. Because as he looked into each assembly, you know, every motive was measured by the Lord. He could see the motives of men and women too. And every work was weighed. Everything they were doing was weighed by the Lord. He was watching them. Every motive was measured and every work was weighed. And this is what he said to the seventh church. We're away to chapter 3 now. We're at verse 13. We're at verse 14. And he's saying to John, unto the messenger of the church of the Laodiceans, unto the messenger of the assembly of the Laodiceans. Don't let's get this building thing into this, or we'll miss this. This is just an assembly. And there was a messenger in the assembly placed there by the Lord. These things saith the Amen. That's one of the titles of our wonderful Lord. And he is the Amen to everything the church requires. The faithful and true witness, and it should be capital S and capital T. In some of the old translations it is. Because this is a double title belonging to our Lord Jesus. He's the faithful and true witness to the assembly. He will tell the assembly when it's right and when it's wrong. And that's what he expects me to do. Yes, he's the faithful and true witness. And the old translation is the beginner of the creation of God. The beginning is all right. But if you say the beginner of the creation of God, you'll get it clearer. And that's what's in some of the old translations. You see, without him was not made anything that was made. He began it. Yes, all things were created by him. So it's true to say he was the beginner of the creation of God. Now, here he's talking to the church, and this is the bit we want, or to the assembly. He says, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, and miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked. It's a special figure of speech in the Greek language, putting all the ands in. Thou knowest not that thou art wretched, and miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him, and will sup with him, and he with me. And this is the bit I want to try to get over to you this morning. You see, sometimes we take this 20th verse and we sort of preach the gospel from it, as if he were preaching to sinners, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And I'm sure it's all right to do that. I'm sure he does that too. But on this occasion, let's be quite clear that he's talking to the assembly of saved people. Now, before we miss this great point, let's get this word door right. It is not a literal door, because we're apt to get the building into our vision, and that the Lord is crushed outside and the door is shut. And indeed, that is not the truth at all. Because we're talking about an assembly of saved people, and certain things have been allowed to come into their lives that now stand between them and the Lord. And it's not a literal door, it's a metaphorical door. And the word is used in a metaphorical sense. And this assembly have built this metaphorical door. And it was separating the assembly from the Lord. And yet the Lord loved the assembly so much that he hadn't moved away. He was still trying to get them to remove the door. Now, we want to try to find out what this metaphorical door was made of. And that's quite easy. There is no problem. You see, when he talks to this assembly, he says, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot, so then because thou art lukewarm. You see, he's looking at a company of saints. He's looking at an assembly of saved people. This assembly in Laodicea. And you know, these were the servants of the Lord. But you know, they were not serving the Lord the way they should. It was poor servants. Now, can I sort of draw you a picture to get the thing over to you? Supposing we look at the assembly as a big fashionable hotel. And it's got everything it needs. It's perfectly laid out. It's got a beautiful dining room and all the rest of it. And it's got all the waiters there ready to serve. And there they stand up around the front, you know. And the Lord comes in. Let's get the Lord into this. And the Lord comes in and they're supposed to be serving the Lord. Ah, but they're watching the television when he comes in. And you know, they're lackadaisical about it. In fact, they're cool and unconcerned and couldn't care less. And this cool, unconcerned, couldn't care less service gets in between you and the Lord. Is that the way you serve the Lord? Let me ask you that, because you might be building a door too. And that is only one panel of it. Just wondering how we serve the Lord, that's all. Just cool. Just if it suits you. If it too frosty, you couldn't hope you are so frosty. You just serve the Lord, just whatever way you like, is that it? Just cool and unconcerned and couldn't care less. Ah, well, that's building a barrier. Won't you talk to me about serving the Lord, please? Want you to get the hold of it. Because that's very important. Because we've got to get this barrier removed, you know. Now, let's go a bit further. He said this to them. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. Because he hears every word that comes out of your mouth, you know. He listens in, you know. And the talk of some of his people, you know. And the things that they say. Get in as a barrier between him and them. And you build the door with your own talk. And then he said this to them. He said, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. Knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. And I want to point this out very quickly, that this is this sinful pride and this willful ignorance. Peter talked about those who were willingly ignorant of things. And you know, there's nothing the Lord detests like this sinful pride. When you do a lot of talking and do nothing about it. And we have a lot of it. Sinful pride. There are seven things the Lord hates. And the first one is pride. And the next one is a false tongue. And you see, this assembly was just full of pride. We are increased with goods. We have need of nothing. Thou knowest not that thou art wretched, he said. Poor and blind and miserable and naked. And you see, this cool, unconcerned, couldn't care less kind of service to the Lord, and this sinful pride and this willful ignorance all build a barrier, and that's the second panel in the door. And it built a barrier between the Lord and the assembly. And then he went on a bit further. He said to them in verse 18, I counsel thee to buy of me gold, tried in the fire. Gold is something that speaks of value. That thou mayest be rich, white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed. The shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve that thou mayest see. You see, this assembly, although it was saved, it was of no value to the world around them. The world around them didn't believe in them at all. And they had not only no value before the world, they had no vesture to attract the world. They didn't attract anybody. Not a bit of them. And I'll tell you what's more, they had no vision. All the world. And when God's people have no value and no vesture and no vision, they are erecting a barrier between them and the Lord. That's the third panel in the door. And this cool, unconcerned, couldn't care less kind of service. And this thinking, sinful pride and this willful ignorance and this no use to the world outside. It built the door. It came in between the Lord, and yet you know he loves them, and he's standing still. He'd like to change it all. You've got to open the door. Behold, I'm still here, you know. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in. You see, the great apostle had other ideas of service. You know, when Paul talks about service in this book, he talks about turning to God from idols to serve. Living in true God. He believed that the day he turned was the day he started being a servant. And Paul believed this, that if he was really going to serve the Lord, he needed to present his body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. There was no lackadaisicalness about this, no coolness. nor unconcernedness. This was wholeheartedness. Nothing turned them back, you know. A night and a day in the deep, imprisoned off, beaten with rod, didn't stop them for an hour. This man really served the Lord. Let's compare our service. Wonder, are we building a barrier? We're just so cool, unconcerned, and couldn't care less if it doesn't suit us. My God, if some of you were serving your master the way you serve the Lord, you'd got sacked long ago. Now, we've got to get the barrier down. Got to start this morning, haven't we? All right, Lord, let's begin again. Let's tear a door down today. You know how you begin, do you? Well, I'll tell you. You start right now by saying, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And that goes for 6:30 tonight. Oh, that'll shake one or two of you. Maybe you'll be back at the TV at that time. And the door's up again. Yes. Yeah, I came to talk. The Lord sent me to talk. And if he's creeping into you and you hear his voice, you're being challenged. Don't you make any mistakes about this. Any man hear my voice? You see, this talk of ours sometimes, it sickens me. I may as well be blunt about it. I hear talking. I shall tell you a story. I was preaching in Derry and got on so well that I took an extra day out of it. I preached for 5 days and then I preached on the Saturday. And I was leaving Derry on Saturday night, about 11:30. And you know what time I was in Lurgan at, don't you? Early hours of the morning. No barriers on, no problems. And I came in, and Mrs. Mullen was in bed. And I said, I've got a bit of work to do. And I was thinking about the message for the morning meeting here. And I worked on till about 5 a.m. and then trotted upstairs and tumbled into bed. I'll not tell you the color of the pajamas I had on just then. I was in bed, boots and all, if you want to know. I get into trouble with going into bed with my boots on. And then I awoke about 7:00 and crawled out and went to the bathroom and took sick and vomited blood. See it in the basin. I said, Lord, I've got the message for this meeting. Turn the tap on, swill it out, take another breath. Say, I'm taking this message to the meeting, you know. So I came up here, I didn't tell anybody at home. And I delivered the message here. And I was going with the choir to the prison, to the Crumlin, to preach to all the prisoners. So I felt if I'm going to die, well, then I shall die in the Crumlin. Good idea. And I went and preached to all the prisoners. Choir was there. We had a big day. And I came back out and I came home. And it was time for the evening meeting, so I came to the evening meeting, and I preached here at the evening meeting. And I left the evening meeting, and I went to Hillsborough, and I preached there at their evening meeting, too. And when I came home, I was beat. And I went upstairs again and fell on the bed. And I'm not just right there when the phone rings and I lift it. It's at the side of the bed and there's a fella said, He says, "That you, Pastor?" I said, "Yes." "It's me, old uncle, just the way in the hospital. Want you to go to see him. Could you go tonight?" "Yes, yes, I can." He says, "He's had a stroke, you know." He says, "Would you go now?" I said, "Yes." He says, "Pastor, now you hurry up now. Now he's gone too far now." That's the sort of crack that I won't listen to. "Now you just sit there while I talk to you for a minute." I said, "John, how long have you been listening? How long have you been living with your uncle?" 20 years, he said. "How many times have you brought your uncle to the gospel meeting in 20 years?" "Not once." "How many times have you been at the prayer meeting to pray for him in the last 20 years?" "Not once." I said, "I would advise a tramp like you not to talk to me like that. For you're just a put on of a creature. You're sobbing about your old uncle now. You have let your old uncle almost go to hell. And you're trying to put a sob in your voice." "Ah, below me. The Lord's fed up with a boy like you." "And so am I. But I went and saw his uncle just the same." "Is this the way we're doing it, is it? My old track, you know. Hurry up, Pastor. It's putting a barrier between you and the Lord." "Not right at all, you know. It's like the increased with goods we have need of nothing. He's a poor backsliding hypocrite of the deepest dye, that's what he is. He doesn't know about serving the Lord." Friends, we'll need to pull down the barrier and stop talking, wouldn't we? Start doing something. If the Lord walked down the aisle this morning and stopped beside you and put his hand on your shoulder and said, "Thou art wretched, General Lathan," wouldn't be the pastor talking, you know. Be the Lord. "I'm wretched, I'm poor, I'm blind and miserable and naked. The whole thing's baloney, it's a put on. It's a dramatic Christianity. We're playing it out nicely. Let's pull the door down this morning." See, old stud, 52 years of age, dying with asthma, panting for breath, going to Africa, going to found the Heart of Africa mission, didn't care about a thing in the world, determined to blaze out for God. Now this man was of some use to the world. This man was made of gold, as it were. This man had a vesture that attracted the world. The Africans fell in love with him. One African said, "It was like Jesus Christ coming to the Congo." Where are we this morning? Can we start over on this new year? Can we start serving the Lord from today? Can we stop talking tripe and put a bit of weight into it, can we? Can we be of some value to the world? Can we have vesture that attracts them? Can we have a vision? You know, dear, if Jesus Christ comes tonight, your wee ones might be left behind. I assure you, don't care. How do I know that? You never have a prayer meeting. "If any man hear my voice and open the door," let's open the door today. "Let the Lord in and let him do what he wants to do." That's going to upset some of you. The Lord talking. May God shift us. We'll never have revival till we get the assembly back on its knees.
May God bless you. Let's bow together before the Lord. Let's just take a moment now. Take a moment. If any man started talking to the whole assembly and then he ended by talking to the individual, any man, hear my voice. Oh, we may not have longed to serve the Lord one way and another. Think of Calvary now. Think on how much he put into it for you. Are we prepared to open the door today at any cost? Now don't bluff yourself. For God's sake, don't bluff yourself.